Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends. Brothers are on live stream
through their local church service in South River Community Church now on Sunday morning. So if you are in an area where you are able to get the internet, whether it's just hear it and or see it, we would like you to join our international internet church service on Sunday mornings. It also has archives of up to a month long, but you just go to Kruze Brothers, that's spelled just like Kruze Sisters, K-R-O-E-Z-E, or for Canadian friends, K-R-O-E-Z-E, .org, and it'll say live stream. Just click that once, and if it's 10 o'clock, it'll come up live. You can also download on your Android or your iPhone live stream, and that'll be on your phone, and you can follow Kruze Brothers, and hopefully soon Kruze Sisters. And it'll remind you, hey, you need to be listening to the telecast right now.
It comes up.
Yes, it's great. So you can double-click and you can listen to it live or you can listen to it in the archives. It'll just be a month long. Unlike ours, we have all 2 years right here. We're on for 2 years already, Tam.
No, actually, when you just said that, I thought, you can't be talking about
this. Isn't that crazy?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
2 years, over 40,000 listens.
Wow.
And growing. Next week, you don't want to miss Reverend Pam Wimbush. She's going to be with us talking about the power of discernment and how to be discerning in your life, which is very important. Mm-hmm. So, but tonight we are talking about The Lioness Arising from Lisa Bevere. We are on chapter 9 tonight, and my good friend Tammy Saltz will be teaching that. And so let's open in prayer first. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us tonight. We thank you for everyone listening tonight. And we thank you that you've brought them here to this broadcast for some reason. And we pray tonight that they would be inspired and uplifted and reminded of their value in you. We thank you that you are a good God and you just want what's good for our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And here's Tammy Saltz.
Hi, y'all.
This is the one that has the same name as me but a different voice than me. And like
yes.
My sister has a different voice, or the same name, but exactly the same voice.
Yeah, same voice, different name.
It's not, yeah. But anyway.
Different voice, same name.
This is the same name, different voice. All right, there we are.
We're all sisters in Christ.
That's right.
It works.
It's another lioness. Go ahead.
Yes. All right. The wicked are edgy with guilt, ready to run off even when no one's after them. Honest people are relaxed and confident. Bold as lions. Is that not the truth? Your kids, when you're asking them a question, I tell Aaron, my youngest son, all the time, he should never try to lie because he fails at it so miserably. And this is what I'm talking about. You can see somebody that's sketchy or edgy, and that's true. It's guilt. Police officer said, I pulled you over because you look guilty. Well, you probably are. It's an interesting combination. Relaxed, confident, and bold, like the lioness. We should express all of these, relaxed, bold, confident. Like all women, the lioness is a collection of contradictions. I didn't say that.
That's a big word.
Well, that's just a big statement. Like all women, the lioness is a collection of contradictions. Yeah, whatever. Lionesses not only live in the light, but they also live lightly. Nothing burdens a lion. They rise up, shake it off, and move on only when necessary. Elisa was mentioning in her chapter, this chapter was just packed full. I don't know if you guys read it. It was packed so full, they could have split it in two and easily had more than enough guts. But she was talking about how they were on the safari. And the lioness, there's a couple lionesses, a lion and maybe a couple cubs, and they had just eaten. There was some fresh blood on their faces, and they're meandering in front of the caravan, basically, in front of this. The ranger has guns, and the people on this big vehicle that's watching them all. And they're watching them, expecting the cats to just take off because there's this big, cumbersome vehicle making noise, and it's right there behind them. But no, these cats just plop down in the middle of the road, lick off the blood, and within 5 minutes, they're all asleep. They probably had no idea who these people were, what that was, but all they knew is that there was nothing in their surrounding, there was nothing in their life that could ever get them, other than getting out of the way for an elephant. But they could hear that coming a mile away. So these lions and lionesses were so, they didn't have any idea what that vehicle was or who people were. But they did have complete faith in the fact that there was nothing in their world that could get them. So much so that they just plopped down right in front of it and crashed. How amazing to have that kind of a relaxation and that kind of a faith, and that's what we're striving to do. Lions are famous for lounging around in golden sunlight and have been known to sleep up to 21 hours a day. Definitely not a lioness in that way.
I am.
Lionesses rest and relate unafraid in the full light of day. We likewise should live openly as our lives expand on ever-increasing levels. To live is to be in motion, growing, strengthening, and as our connections multiply. I know that we've talked before how we're ever, you know, you're never going to be, God's never going to be done with you. There's always going to be work to be done because we're human and we're not perfect. We're always going to strive to be godlike, which means that there's always going to be something to be remolded, worked on, fixed. And that's very much where we're going with this. I, sitting here, can say, you know what, Tammy? God's finally taken the burden of swearing from my life. Finally taken the burden of swearing. But I'll tell you what, I can't not eat a cake.
Can't what?
Not eat a cake. That's not. I'm just an expression.
Example.
Yeah.
I can relate.
So the point is that, you know, the fact of the matter is God may take one thing from you only to reveal yet another. Yet another. Yet another. Yet another. Does that make you a bad person? No, not at all. It makes you work in progress. And it makes you understand
not
that there's...
Not perfection, but progression.
Progression, exactly. And we're ever-changing, as our family does, as our needs do. Lisa mentioned, ironically, that she has a ninja. Okay, does anybody here know what a ninja is?
The ninja blender?
No, Lisa's fired. Ninja motorcycle.
Oh.
You know, I was thinking play toys ninja because I have little boys.
Look at all these. There's five different. The only person in this room, how old are you? 12? The only person in this room that knew what ninja I was talking about is 12.
Because she knows your motorcycle.
Yes, this is two.
Well, yeah. I was talking about a child that was really silent.
That's Joshua. So, Lisa Bavir mentions that she has a ninja motorcycle. Blew me away, to be honest with you. Blew me away. Didn't see her on a ninja. My very first motorcycle happened to be a ninja.
Are you friends with her on Facebook?
No.
Oh, you can see that kind of stuff.
Oh. But my first motorcycle was a ninja. So as soon as I heard her say that, I thought, oh, this is my part of the book. Right here. So she explains how she went through these training classes, as I did. I went through motorcycle training classes, learned how to respect the road and the people around me and to understand the hazards around me because people don't see you as often as you want them to. And Lisa says, you know, she learned a lot of things on her motorcycle, like she needs to evaluate things around her and she needs to put it in perspective. She needs to execute as she plans to. She needs to make her actions clear to the drivers around her and all this stuff. I'm going, oh, this is good, yep, okay. Get to the part where you wreck. You know, tell me about that part because I've done it. So I'm thinking, okay, I've had a ninja, laid it down a couple times. Then I moved up to an R6, much faster bike. What's that? And now I'm on a Harley, which is just basically a cruiser. It's not fast. I mean, it's fast, but it's not that fast. So I'm picturing in my mind where she's going with this story, and she says, that she learned something else on her ninja, that you always have to look ahead. And you do. When you're riding a motorcycle, where you look is where you're going to go. You might think that you're turning. First of all, you do not turn on a motorcycle. You push the opposite way, believe it or not. You look into the corner that you're going to, you will make that corner no problem. If you look beside you, if you look down, if you look behind you, if you look over, that's where you're going to end up. You see an oncoming vehicle? Do not look at it. It is not a good idea. Do not look at the problem coming towards you. And I was thinking, you know, this is exactly what we say. Don't look at the mountain in front of you. Look on the whole, look past it. Look past where you need to go. Look at the end of it, which is exactly what you do on a motorcycle. Trust me. When you don't, you do get hurt. I have scars, I can tell you. This is true. Then I started thinking about it, and I started thinking, first of all, I still haven't gotten past the idea of Lisa on a ninja. So I'm going to have to friend her to see this ninja. But then I thought, you know, I'm in a whole different season of my life. She's talking about how you know, on a sport bike, you're an aggressive rider. Your bike tells you to ride fast. It really does. It talks. It does. I don't care what you think. It does. It talks. It says, go fast, go fast, fast, fast.
That Mustang does that, too.
Yeah, see, she knows.
Yeah, just the Cobra tells you
to go.
It
does. It says, go.
Yeah.
And it's not shaking. Or maybe that's
you. Yeah.
it's that passion, and I liken that to Layla. She's like a sport bike.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, ah! She's so excited. She's so excited. And then here I am on my Harley. I'm just like, yeah. And I thought, oh my goodness, am I in that stage of my life? Have I grown complacent? Have I, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm paralleling this motorcycles with my God walk and my passion and my drive to save souls, and I'm thinking, I need to get my R6 back. Don't you think? No, so anyway, definitely, I see Layla as a ninja, and I see me as a Harley.
And see, so
I have riders for my bike. Yeah, so I can take people with me. I mean, you don't want to ride with me.
See, Layla's a farm girl, so I see her as a horse chick.
Oh.
And I'm a beach girl, so I see myself as a jet ski woman.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
there you go. But see, mine is like, keep your eyes on where you're going or else you're going to get wet.
And it's the same thing. I mean, think about it. Jet
Not
ski,
hurt.
Driving a car, bicycle, motorcycle, every single one of those. Every single one of those. If you
horse.
Think about it, horse, yeah. If you think about it,
ninja,
it's where you're looking.
Yes,
it's where you're going to go. So if you're looking at your sins of your past, if you're looking at the failures of your past, or however you want to look at it, if you're looking at the problems that are looming on the horizon, that's where you're going to go. Karen?
Hawkcourt lover always said, don't keep your eyes on the circumstance, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Always said that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Bible talks about what you just said before all those things even were invented, when they talked about the plowing, that you can't plow the field and look behind you because your row won't be straight. You have to look straight ahead, otherwise your rows won't
Good
be
point.
Straight.
Yep, and it's true, and it's still that way today, believe it or not. I got scars, I can show you. All right, living in the light, that's another thing she mentioned. Did you guys know, okay, everybody here knows that a cat's eyes glow.
Yes.
You know why their eyes glow. Lisa, you don't get to answer this. Because I know she read the chapter because she loves to read too much.
And she has cats.
And she has cats.
I have a cat.
Yeah, see?
Their eyes glow. Lisa, go ahead and answer it.
It's so they have night vision, and they have the only animal that has the ability to absorb light that's available, whether it's moonlight, starlight, or white light, or headlight, and reflect that light back out.
Refract it. Yeah. And Lisa made this point. It's so cool. Not only does a cat in a room that is pitch. Deers do not reflect light this way. Only the cat
That's
family.
That's deer
does.
In a headlight, so it's.
Oh, yeah. so now a deer can absorb light, but not to this degree. A cat in a pitch black room is as blind as you and I are. But you put one tiny pinprick of light that literally to us is just a little dot, that is enough for that cat to see all of you. All of you. And it's lunch.
Oh, wait, that was Becky.
Yeah. So, and I was just amazed by that. So I'm thinking, okay, so this is really cool. She's saying how these cats, you know, yeah, they lounge around all day. Yeah, they go and play with the kittens or whatever they're called, cubs. And they're, you know, laying around doing them. But at night, they are ninjas. Ninja cats.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, I'm listening to her talk about these cats and how they're sleeping 21 hours a day. And I envision the beauty and the power and the streamlined stealth of this cat. And I'm thinking, if I slept for 21 hours a day, there would be no part of me that would be hard at all. There would be no part of me that was muscular and streamlined. And you wouldn't look at me and say, wow, look at that power. You'd say, oh, Lord. You need to get off the couch. So what does that tell you? Well, I started thinking about it, and I started thinking, well, how come a cat can sleep for 21 hours a day and work out 5 minutes with five other cats and then engorge themselves and then sleep the rest of the day again and look like that? Because the cat is feasting on only what it's supposed to. Only what it's supposed to. There is no garbage in that cat's life. That cat is eating only what God intended it to eat, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. So that cat can. And you know, after you're saved, you're supposed to be able to rest. But that doesn't mean you rest on your laurels. That does not mean you sit back and say, you know what, God, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, all is good here. Nope, it doesn't work like that. Now, we rest because we rest in the faith that, like a cat, that ranger isn't going to get me because there's nothing in my territory that is bigger than my God. There is nothing that is bigger than the faith I have in my Creator, right? Mm-hmm. So you have that rest. You can rest in that.
And
but you're on a fight.
Truth.
Yes, but you're still out looking out on the horizon and you're saying, hey, isn't that one of my sisters over there? Hey. Get her back into the fold. Get her back into the fold. Let's get her back into the fold. Let's feed her. Let's take care of her. And guess what? Again, you're just going to sleep 21 hours a day. I will sleep 21 hours a day if all I have to do is feast on what God intends me to. And obviously that doesn't mean literally. But if we are feeding our soul, if we're feeding our lives, our minds, on what God intended, we're going to be mean fighting machines. Truly.
That's good.
Isn't that good?
Well, I've been reading this book, The Satan You Can't Have My Family, and I just wanted to read a little bit of this because this is kind of the Christian lioness wives that we are. It says, God created women as a delicate vase and wants her to be handled as such. I realize that many of you are being oppressed and mistreated. Personally, I watched for many years my father victimized my mom, but I also watched as I saw my mother refuse to succumb to the attacks of the enemy through my father. She was never a victim. She was a victor. How did she do this? She stayed connected to her source, Jesus Christ. Don't you feel like that's kind of a common denominator of everything we're talking about tonight? Her mind was always in prayer. Even when she worked, cooked, and attended her family, she was thankful and kept a smile on her face. Was it difficult? Yes. I believe she maintained a 90% mental attitude and a 10% physical. Mom knew her position in Christ. She was unbeatable because God sustained her. Today, she's an 83-year-old, smiling, thankful, and prayerful woman. What I see today is the big picture are young couples. I see a complete disarray instead of what a Christian home should be like. Confusion and disorder reign in too many Christian homes. I'm thinking of five young couples right now. A young wife is unhappy because her husband has to work overtime almost every day, and her food gets cold and dry before he comes home. Give me a break. Millions of men would love to have a job right now. Another wife feels insecure because she's gained too much weight, and her husband's starting to make wisecracks. I will put this situation under the title of disorder. We can do something about this. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we must rule over our bodies. Not only do we get out of control in our weight, but do our children. Oh, this book is about Satan, don't have my children, but not about food and marriage. Confusion and disorder are in homes are the main reasons why we have so many out of control children and young adults.
Yeah.
They enter their marriage without the necessary survival tools and godly examples for a successful and healthy marriage. Perhaps my next book will be on marriage, and actually it was too. Moms, we should be gentle as a lamb, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit tenderly with love and positive words. Do not be negative. Do not shout and scream. Do not gossip or speak ill of others. Speak life, not death. Speak blessings. Speak your blessings out loud. Our children are watching and hearing. Never criticize, especially the church leaders. Our children will think they're all hypocrites, and as they grow older, they will not want to go to church.
maintain the spiritual temperature of home at a pleasant level. Women set the pace in your home. We are like thermometers. If it's too hot or too cold, it'll be uncomfortable. If we talk too much or nag and complain all the time, the temperatures will be uncomfortable. Bless with words of encouragement. Pray in the spirit and think before speaking. And I love this. In the spirit, be bold as a lion, Proverbs 28:1. Learn to pray, intercede, and wage war. Remain connected to the Holy Spirit. Time should be almost done here. Learn to recognize the danger signals, a bad temper, a quiet or serious spouse, a lazy, distracted, unhappy, fearful, or rebellious child. Learn to discern Satan's tricks, bad decisions, bad investments, money wasted, and disputes. Pray for discernment, which brings me to what we're going to be doing next week.
Yep.
Pray with power. Pray fervently. Pray without losing heart, and pray all the time. If you have anything to say, say it to God first before you say it to somebody else. Isn't that the truth? To be able to stop and to decide, hey, before I bring this to my husband, before I bring this to my kids or whatever, I need to talk to God about it. I'm going to have to go out with that. There we go.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office at 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor director, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.